This Mixed Sunday Morning podcast is presented by Robo Motors in Sylacauga, Alabama. Well known for quality pre-owned automobiles, RVs, boats, and motorcycles, and by Sylacauga Handicapped, the area's premier source of handicapped mobility and motoring equipment. Listen to the full show from 8 to 11 a.m. on Sundays on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix1065Radio.com, the Mix 106.5 mobile apps, and the Mix 106.5 skill on Amazon's Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama. Every week, we feature encouraging stories and have a great conversation with guests about their faith. Welcome to Mixed Sunday Morning for the week of October 6, 2024. I'm Greg Wyckoff, your host. Joining me this week, I just have to thank the Lord again because, wow, I mean, I'm just amazed. Miss Angelique Marketon, you know, again, I send a message. I see what you do. I love your heart for ministry. And I just ask you to come on the show and here you are.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'm honored. So I love asking every guest every week because it's a really cool way to start the show. Who is Miss Angelique Marketon?
Yeah, so I was actually born and raised in Germany. My dad was German and my mom American. And I had three brothers, and we actually grew up in ministry. And my dad, they were hippies, and they opened up like a drug rehab, a Christian drug rehab, and they got people off the needle through prayer. So that's kind of how I was raised for a few years.
Wow.
So I saw a lot of miracles, and there was a lot of worship. My dad was a worship leader. Singer-songwriter, that they had a whole band. They did like contemporary rock music. That was in the 70s. I was born in 74, so it was a long time ago. I feel old now. But yeah, so I was kind of raised like that. You know, there were just a lot of Christians, but It wasn't an easy life. I don't know how much you want me to tell you there, but my parents got divorced, so it was a challenge for me, like especially like growing up as a Christian. Mm-hmm. I ended up giving my life to Jesus at 11 years old. I went to a service, and I was raised Christian, but I don't feel like I really knew who God was. You know, I just kind of like watched my parents be Christians. Mm-hmm. But when I got saved, I had one of those, like, I got wrecked, you know, I just got like totally touched by the Holy Spirit. I sobbed when I got saved. And that's when I feel like I really experienced God for the first time. But you know how that goes a lot of times. It kind of was a lot of up and down. So it's like I was in love with God, but at the same time, I was in love with other things, you know, that I felt like would satisfy me. And, as I grew up, I just like dabbled in things that, you know, the world has to offer, I guess. Obviously not at 11 years old. It took me a few years, but I think like my parents getting divorced, there was a lot of stability. And then I just started hanging out with the wrong crowds, and I started, partying a little bit too much, and it caught up with me big time. Mm-hmm. So, that wasn't like a great story yet. You know, all that was not the best thing. So I feel like the enemy tried to destroy me for many, many years. So like there was a lot of up and down. I don't know how much you want me to tell you, if you have more questions before I keep going.
No, we can dive into, we've got several segments we can dive into it, but whatever God has on your heart to to share with us? Because, you know, there are a lot of questions that just come out of, you know, what you've shared with us. What a, you know, what a powerful testimony to grow up to see what you saw, one, and then having to deal with adversity, you know, with your parents splitting. And, and then, like you said, then the enemy knows, you know, when we, like I taught youth for a long time and I told them, you know, you never know whose car you're getting into. And it wasn't the physical car that you're, you know, that wasn't what I was trying to tell them. It wasn't the car, but who are you going with? You know, who are you associating with? Who are you? And, you know, and it just happens to all of us. You know, we give Satan a little bit of wiggle room.
Right.
And, you know, then his party begins.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially when you're vulnerable. I feel like when you're vulnerable and you're insecure and you're, you know, you haven't really, or you're unstable, you know, I feel like the enemy tries to pick people like that to mess with and, you know, to take us far away from God. And, you know, I mean, sometimes it feels like, you know, maybe the enemy won, but, you know, at the end of the day, that did not happen for me, thank God.
And it, you know? It isn't awesome, like the Bible says, he'll leave the 99 to get the one.
Yeah.
And that one is sitting over there saying, nobody loves me. Look what look what I've done. I'm ashamed. Right. I'm all this stuff. And here he comes. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what you've done.
Yeah.
You know, he loves us that much to come find us, to leave all the 99 to come find us.
Right.
So I'm excited. We're going to come back and I feel like there's a lot more to this story.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, we'll be back with Miss Angelique Markerton right here on Mixed Sunday Morning. It's Mixed Sunday Morning. Joining me this week, Miss Angelique Markerton. Miss Angelique, what a story already. We've started out in Germany, and I'd love to find out. I know we're going to find out here in just a minute how you ended up in the United States, and then I think we have a redemption story a little bit coming right now, because we ended the first segment that you were kind of walking off the path, which we all walk off the path, but how you got back on, how God put you back on path. So let's just dive right back into that and just keep on, just continue.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, like I was saying, I feel like because I was insecure, doing drugs helped me feel better about myself, or at least I thought so. So it was like a false security, I guess. So actually I have to backtrack a little bit because, let me see. That all kind of started, like the drug stuff that started when I was like 16 or something. But before that, I moved to America, actually, because you were just asking about that. Yeah. So my parents got divorced. My mom ended up meeting somebody else. And they moved to America. And I had three brothers. And so we split up. There was like two of us stayed with mom, two of us stayed with dad, which was really hard for everybody, I think. And I came here to America. I was here for about 2 years, and I absolutely hated it here in America because it was just such a huge transition for me, and I just couldn't get used to it. So I ended up going back again for 5 years to be with my dad. So 16 to, 21 or something? That's when I really started losing myself with drugs and everything, and just it was a really, really hard time. But then ended up deciding to come back again. And so when I came back to America again, this is kind of when things changed a little bit. It doesn't mean that I was great yet, but I had like the beginning of some things that happened. Like there was a time that I went to church with my mom, and I was just in the congregation, and there was worship going on. I think it was Hillsong at the time. And I really enjoyed it. You know, I grew up around music because my dad, he was a musician, Christian musician. And so that was always like the one thing I felt close to God when I would listen to music. And I was worshiping just in the congregation. And all of a sudden, while I was worshiping, I felt like God gave me a vision. And I saw myself leading worship in a big church. I saw myself with a microphone singing, and people were raising their hands and just praising God. And I was like, where did that come from? That was weird. So this is kind of important because of what happened years later and why I ended up becoming a worship leader and everything. But when that happened, you know, I really struggled. Honestly, there were many, many years of just struggling and not really getting it together. I got married and I had a son, Isaiah, and I think I was 28 at that time. And, you know, I got better, but then like just kept falling on and off and everything. But then I got really, really bad. I ended up in rehab. And that's what really helped me after that. That was the last time I ever used. Totally gave my life to God there again. Like I rededicated my life to God. But it was different than ever. Like it was kind of like when I got saved when I was 11 years old, where I just had that really deep connection with God. And I had God heal me from the inside out. It was like peeling an onion. And I started finding hope and I started finding purpose, you know. And I had to leave my son with his dad at the time. So that was really hard. He was 4 years old. I had to leave him to get better. But then, you know, I ended up, so my husband at the time, he divorced me because he thought I was never going to get sober. And I just kind of gave up. I didn't think I was ever going to meet anybody else. But about 4 years later, I met my husband now, who's an absolutely incredible man of God. And I feel like God sent him as a gift to me. And so what happened was, my son Isaiah, so this is the other thing that's a really, really, the, I feel like the worst thing that happened to me, but even there's a lot of redemption after that. My son Isaiah, when he was 16, he was killed in a car crash. So it's like life was great. I was leading worship. I feel like I'm going ahead of myself again now, though. So I have to tell you something else that's more important, I think, first before I get to that part. So at rehab, I ended up going in the pantry and playing the keyboard and singing. Just like somebody asked me to join the worship team, and I just started worshiping by myself. And I feel like God literally taught me in the pantry how to lead worship. It was just by myself. I would literally spend hours and hours. I would start at like 10 o'clock at night, and I wouldn't get out of there until like, let's say, 2 a.m. sometimes. And then I'd have staff meetings because I was part of staff at that time. I was like 2 years at rehab, and then 2 years I was actually the office manager and helped people take in people and stuff like that. But while I was doing this, God showed me, and he pretty much said, "You're walking into your calling as we speak." Mm-hmm. And it was like a miracle, the whole thing that happened. And so ever since then, I started, you know, singing on worship teams and everything. And I ended up starting to like write music. I slowly started to do a little bit of traveling. Like I got my feet wet, you know, like people were asking me to do events, and I started getting a little bit of a bigger presence on social media with my music. And then my son was killed in a car crash. So you can only imagine.
Yes, ma'am.
What kind of a story this ended up being for me, and my family. And it almost took me out, like mentally, spiritually, emotionally. It almost destroyed me. I mean, I can get emotional still, like talking about it now. This is almost 6 years ago now. But at that time, I literally felt like I was never going to sing again. I was never going to write music again. There was just no way. Like one of the reasons, it's unrational, but this is something that I hear a lot of people saying when they lose a child. They feel like anything that they find joy in is selfish to do after you lose a child. It's a really weird, twisted way of thinking, but that's what happened to me. I felt like there's no way I enjoy it too much, so I can't ever sing again. I would be selfish too. And I don't have the strength, you know, like when you lose a child, you feel like you can't breathe. It's the deepest pain I've ever experienced my whole life. But what happened was about 3 weeks after Isaiah died, God gave me a song. And that's how you know, I ended up not giving up on singing. So I wrote a song, and you know, I don't know when you want to start talking about that, but after that, like I ended up working on a project called the Isaiah Project, but it took me a while to really get back. I was probably about 2 years before I was able to, I actually stopped going to church, because every time I would go to church, I felt like I couldn't bear the pain that would come out of me, because of, you know, I was going to get the touch too much and then be vulnerable and everything would come out. Nobody would be able to handle it. And then the other thing was, I wouldn't be able to handle it. So I just avoided going to church for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But then somebody asked me to lead worship again. And I was like, oh gosh, I don't know. I don't think I ever want to do it again. And like, I tried a couple of times, I would just break down. I couldn't do it. It was especially when I would worship, because I would get close to God. I just couldn't. And I felt like it wasn't fair to the congregation, because I felt like my heart wasn't in the right place to lead people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just, I just felt like I was a mess. You know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am.
And I had to be honest with myself. So, were you going to say something?
No, ma'am. I'm just agreeing with you. I'm just, I'm just sitting here amazed. Wow.
Yeah, so I ended up praying about it, and I think it was about 6 months later, I said, okay, fine, I'll lead worship. And so I actually just recently stepped down as the main worship leader, just because, you know, I'm 50 now, and I want to focus more on just making music and doing a lot of lives on social media, just doing like live worship. I don't know. You might've seen that I do some of that. I don't know if we're friends on Facebook too, but I do most of that on Facebook and maybe TikTok now, but I just kind of wanted to take a step back from that, but I ended up doing it for 4 years, and it really helped me heal and, you know, even minister to other people. And I feel like God has used the pain that I've gone through to help people that are either grieving or, you know, just really any life struggles. They come to me and ask me for advice now, and I feel honored, you know. And it's like, you know, just like in the Bible, anyone going through all these things, it's like they've taught us, you know what I mean? The disciples, we've learned so much because of all the hardship that they've gone through. And I feel like nowadays, you know, God uses ordinary people like me to minister to others after going through something like this, you know? So I feel like, and one of the reasons I feel like I've gotten a lot better now is because I've made a choice, and I've chosen God instead of just staying, you know, just always thinking about how I'm feeling. And also my identity is not only as a mother, but my identity is in Christ. And that has really, really helped me to, you know, come through it. And I mean, I don't think you ever get over losing a child, but I'm so much better than I even expected. You know, there's a lot of people who lose a child, they're suicidal. So I know that without God, there's just no way that I could have gone through it, you know, and really anybody can go through hardships without God, in my opinion. So.
Well, amen. He's put you in a unique position, and you're right. It's too, it's not funny, but it is kind of funny how God does it, that, you know, it's really like, it doesn't matter what's happened. He says he's going to get us through it. And his glory will shine through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, and you know,
yeah,
you know, your son is in a much better place. And, mm-hmm. and through that, he has filled you with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this life is so short. You know, we have long days sometimes, and it seems like it lasts but this life is really, in the big picture, is really short, and we're all going to be together one day.
Exactly.
And you know, we're here to be the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we sing, whether we talk, whether we just walk the walk of the Lord, you know, whatever God has gifted us to do, it's for His glory.
Right.
So thank you for. Because you had the opportunity to fall. You had the opportunity just get under the rock and de-socialize from everybody, and you didn't. So God bless you for leaning on the Lord.
Yeah. So one of the things that happened when, so after my son died, we were all at my mom's about an hour away from my house. And when we were on our way to go to, I think it was like a candlelight vigil that the kids were doing for my son. And I was, so the crazy thing is my back went out the day before. So I literally had to grieve laying down for the first 5 months. I wasn't able to sit for 5 months after, like, the day before my son died, it happened, it started. So imagine that on top of it. Like, I felt like it was like a job story. It was pretty crazy. But because of that, I really felt connected to God when he first passed away, because I had to lay down. We borrowed a van from someone and put a mattress in it so I could drive places, you know, funeral, all the things you have to do after somebody passes away. But there was a mattress that we put in, and I laid in it. And I would just cry, and I would just like look out the window and look into the sky, and God would give me all these beautiful signs, like these little colors, like rainbow colors, spots, and or even like rainbows as well, and shooting stars and things like that. But I remember, like, on the way there, I was crying, and I remember saying to God, "God, this is so painful. I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this." But I told him, I said, If somebody can get help through this situation, then I'm willing to do this. I could cry again just thinking about that again, because it's like it feels so fresh talking about it. I don't talk about it that much anymore now, but it was like the beginning of starting to focus on that, even though obviously when you lose a child, it takes a long time before you really even feel any kind of hope. But I knew that that's something that I had to focus on and step towards, you know? So, I mean, I feel like that's part of why I am now where I'm at, because it's worth it for somebody else to find God, because so many people have no hope at all, you know? So me going through that might be painful and horrible, but at the same time, you know, if I can minister to others that don't have any hope, then it's worth it.
Yep, there's a song, I think the lyrics in it is "My story, his glory." So, you know, that's pretty cool. Well, I tell you what, we'll be back, because I know there's even more to come. This is what a blessing you've been. Thank you for taking the time, because I know you've already touched me. You've touched our listeners. So we'll be right back with Miss Angelique Markerton right here on Mix Sunday Morning. Welcome back to Mix Sunday Morning. I'm Greg Wyckoff, your host. Joining me this week, Miss Angelique Markerton. And Miss Angelique, we've talked about a lot, but where are you calling in from?
I'm in Florida, Titusville, Florida.
Okay. All right. Well, you're south though.
Yeah, we didn't get, you mean like with the hurricane?
Hurricane. Yes, ma'am. You're south.
It wasn't super bad. I think there's some areas that had a bad, but we didn't really, we had some winds and we had, you know, like some storms, but light. It wasn't super bad. Well, so
I lived in Bradenton for a year.
Oh, okay.
Yes, ma'am. So,
all right. Yeah.
And I'm a huge Miami Hurricane football fan.
Are you really?
Yes, okay. Ma'am, I am.
I don't know too much about football, but I know Florida is extremely hot.
It is super hot. Yeah, it was so hot when I played football in Florida, and
oh my goodness,
they would hand us cabbage, like a leaf of cabbage to put on our head, then put our helmet on top of it, because it would cool you down. It would cool you down because it was
cabbage sweats.
It was that hot.
Wow, that's a good idea. That's interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're here to talk about you, and we've heard a lot, and you made mention to it very shortly, and you've had to go through a lot in your life, and I love how God will send people to you in seasons of your life. He will direct you in seasons of life, And in a part of that direction, I thought it was really neat that you said you met a godly man.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes two to fight. You know, it does. It takes two to fight the scheme of the devil. It takes two to comfort. It takes two to love. It takes two. And I know your husband's a special person because he was put into your life at some times that were pretty tough.
Mm-hmm. Well, he came into my life before Isaiah died. So he was actually in Isaiah's life for 7 years. Okay. And then he died. So he was his stepdad for 7 years.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I was in a good time of my life actually when I met him because, you know, I was at rehab and I had, you know, gone through rehab and then I was working at rehab. So I was in a, like probably the closest to God that I had ever been at that time. So that's when we met. So, yeah.
That's pretty neat when you say that because you were there because it's pretty cool how God can strip everything away. He can take everything away,
mm-hmm.
but he'll only, the worst thing that will happen is that you will fall to your knees. I mean, that's the worst thing that can happen.
Yeah. That is true.
And that's cool how you, in all of that, where God had you and in that place, he restored you. In that place, man, you met your husband. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely my better half.
I could argue because you have come. You're very well seasoned. You have God has built you. He's uniquely built you. He has,
yeah.
And that is a blessing from Him. He's prepared you.
Yeah.
For whatever what is to come, that's what he's prepared you for.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, we laughed in the break. We're old fogies, but you know, we still have that one. I believe we have the one, and I truly do believe this. We have the final fight in us. Because the Lord is, nobody knows when he's coming back, but but I know every day it's closer.
Yeah.
And whatever the signs are, we just have to be, ready.
100%.
But I know, like I said, that he is, who knows? I told you, you're going to be an artist on the Rock the Flock show, and there's no telling who we all and all the artists that are going to be on it are going to reach.
Mm. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Pray that you know, even like when I write songs, even if just one person gets something out of it, then the job is done, you mm-hmm. know? Because it's not, because I think at the beginning when you first become an artist, you're always so worried that people aren't going to hear your music. But then as you mature a little bit, you know, now, I mean, we were saying I'm 50 now, but I kind of just, I've relaxed about it a lot, you know, because I feel like the person or the people that are going to hear it are the ones that need to hear it.
That's right.
You know? And so I just kind of, I give that to God now, you know, so.
Amen.
Yeah.
I tell you about when we come back, we're going to talk about your music.
Okay.
We'll be right back with Miss Angelique Marketson right here on Mix Sunday Morning. It's Mix Sunday Morning. I hope you're having a wonderful day, whether you're listening to it on the airwaves of Alabama's Best Mix, Mix 106.5, or you're on the podcast. I have a special guest today, and if you've been listening, you've been super blessed, and if you're just tuning in, get ready, because Miss Angelique Marketson is on with us today, and what a powerful story, a powerful testimony a powerful life she's lived. And we have her on Mix Sunday Morning because of her music. You said that you grew up in kind of the, I guess, the music world a little bit. And you've been a worship leader.
Mm-hmm. And then you
kind of got away from being the worship leader to focus on what God's laid on your heart. And that's to, I guess, you write your own music.
Mm-hmm.
I know you said you played the keyboard in the closet. What other instruments do you play?
I just play keys.
Keys, okay. And sing.
Yeah.
What would be your favorite song you've written?
I would say Out of the Deep, mm-hmm. which is the song that I wrote 3 weeks after Isaiah died. And the reason it's my favorite song is because I know 100% that I had nothing to do with that song. It was straight from God. Like, it was just crazy how it happened. So 3 weeks after Isaiah died, I remember saying to my husband, I don't know what it is, but I just feel like I need you to pick up my keyboard from Titusville. We were like it's about an hour and a half away where my mom lived, and I couldn't be at my house after my son died. So we were staying with her for a little bit. And I was like, I need my keyboard. I feel like I have to play. So he brought my keyboard to the house and I started playing. And I was like, oh, wow, maybe I do want to do it again. And then then we took it back to the house again when we came to the house. And there was one day where I was just like, I need to play, and I feel like God's going to give me a song. And I started playing my keyboard, and I started opening up the Bible, and all these lyrics popped out of the Psalms. And I literally, the reason that I know it was God is because I can't even explain. I couldn't tell you which Psalms it was anymore now. It was all these different sections from different areas in Psalms. And I ended up just putting it all together. And it was so God. It was the easiest song I ever wrote. It wrote itself, but it was God writing it. Mm-hmm. So it felt like it wrote itself. And I just feel like it wrote itself. And, like I said, God wrote the song for me. And this is something that, I still think all of my music is from God, but there was something different about this song. But I had nothing to give, so I wouldn't have even been able to, find words for a song. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with lyrics in general. It's easy for me to come up with melodies, but writing lyrics is a little bit more challenging for me. That's not my first gift, I feel like, but for this song, it was just so easy. And that's my favorite song out of all of the songs that I've written. I can tell you a little bit about the lyrics.
Yes, ma'am.
So it's about, me being in distress and talking to God, pretty much saying, I'm calling out to you. And feeling like the cords of the grave coiled around me. That's something that I saw in the Bible. And I was like, wow, this is like perfect. Have been saved from my enemies. The snares of death have confronted me, so because of the situation I was in. And then I'm just talking to God about how desperate I am, how I need him to brighten the sky again for me, because I had just lost all hope. Asking God to breathe life again, in the valleys. And then, in the bridge, it was kind of like out of faith, just talking about how he drew me out of the deep. And that's why the name of the song is Out of the Deep.
He's got kind of a knack of doing that, didn't he?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So just talking about how he crushed the enemies and pretty much is saving me out of this. And like when I sang it, it was out of faith. But later on, when I looked at it, I was like, wow, it's like, it was almost like prophetic, to sing it at that time. And yeah, so that song is very, very personal to me. And, it was probably the most vulnerable song that I've ever written, because it pretty much admits, I'm pretty much admitting my devastation and my hopelessness in this song, you know, but then how powerful God is and how he comes and he crushes the enemy and, you know, everything will be better. So that's what this song is about. And so this song goes actually on a project. There's a project that I started, the Isaiah Project, which Isaiah is my son's name. Everybody thinks it has to do with the with Isaiah in the Bible, but it's because that's his name. And I did two originals on there and then two cover songs actually on there. So, yeah. So it was like a whole project.
I can't wait to hear it.
Thank you.
And I guess we'll come up and we'll be playing one of your songs.
Awesome.
Have you picked one out?
I think that one. Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to. I've been thinking about that and praying about it, and I feel like that, you know, especially because I feel like if someone has no hope left, and you know, maybe they're listening in, and if they're listening to those lyrics, I just want them, like, if they're listening to the song, I want them to know that these lyrics don't come from some girl that writes music. They come straight from God. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. Like, I'm so convinced. And I don't, like, over-spiritualize. I'm not overly emotional. I'm an emotional person as a musician, but I don't over... I don't know if you know what I'm saying, but, like...
I understand. Yes, ma'am.
I try to be grounded when it comes to the spiritual things because I feel like it's a responsibility not to be reckless, like... overly emotional sometimes, but I am so convinced that God wrote the song for anyone that's hopeless, including me, you know, because I feel like it's helped me a lot. But that's why I wanted to use this song.
I'll tell you what, in the next break, we'll get you to intro that song and we'll play it.
Awesome.
All right. Well, stay tuned. Miss Angelique Marketon. Coming up in her music right here on Mix Sunday Morning.
Okay, so we're going to play this song called Out of the Deep. I wrote this song 3 weeks after I lost my son, Isaiah, my only child, in a car crash at 16 years old. And this song talks about just being desperate for hope in the darkest time that I was ever in. So this is Out of the Deep by Angelique Marketon.
In my distress, Lord, I call out to you. The cords of the grave coiled around me. Been saved from my enemies. The snares of death have confronted me. Oh God, I am desperate. Would you brighten up the skies in the valleys? Would you please breathe life?
It's Mixed Sunday Morning, and we have blown through another show. But this week we have, again, I'll say it, and I say it all the time, Miss Angelique, I'm a very simple person. I'm a very simple-worded person, but I mean a lot in what I say. Mm-hmm. We've been blessed. You have truly blessed me. I am, like I said, I was honored to get you on the show. I am truly honored to know you now, to hear your story, and just not only in what God has done, but your life started halfway across this world. If we want to really step back and look at it, I mean, it did. Yeah. And God is taking you through all the things you've gone through. He's taking you from halfway across the world to serve mm-hmm. Him, which is, that's a story in its own.
Yeah.
Well, before we close out, can I go to the Lord in prayer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Heavenly Father, thank you again for this wonderful time with truly your child, Miss Angelique. God, thank you for never giving up on her. Lord, for showing up when she needed you the most. Heavenly Father, I ask you to continue to protect her, to continue to guide her. Lord, to put a hedge of protection around her, her husband, and their ministry. God, let your Holy Spirit flow through her and guide each and every step of her life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, again, thank you for coming on, for taking the time. It has been...
Thank you so much for having me.
It is. So how can people connect with you?
Yeah. I'm really anywhere on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. They just have to look up Angelique Marqueton Music. So A-N-G-E-L-I-Q-U-E. And then Marqueton, M-A-R-K-E-T-O-N. And then I have music on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, really any of the platforms. There's some stuff on YouTube, I think, too.
I'm a YouTuber.
Are you really?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't post a lot there, but yeah, I think that my publishing company puts everything on YouTube as well. So, yeah.
I fuss at my wife and my kids all the time because I look and we pay 99 cents for this and $4.99 for this, and it's Apple Music, it's for this, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I said, I keep it simple. I Bluetooth my YouTube in the car, and I can DJ my own concert in there.
That's true. I mean, everything. The only thing is you have commercials, unless you pay for it now. Then you don't have commercials, I guess.
Yes, ma'am. But see, I'm cheap. I just wait. I'll wait the 3 seconds and hit skip.
I do too.
Well, I would say go follow her, but don't go. You can follow her, but go follow the one that she follows and listen to her music. Enjoy it. You'll be hearing more of it here in a few weeks on Rock the Flock Radio. And Miss Angelique, just have a blessed evening. And, you know, thank you for the time that I was able to spend with you, to meet you. And I believe, you know, there's more to this whole story, and I'll get to hear all of it. And like I told you in the break, where I was the one I thought would kick Forrest Gump off the bench. Maybe you and I will have to kick Forrest Gump off the bench and we'll have a good conversation.
That's right. No, thank you so much. I really am honored and thankful that you gave me the opportunity to share, you know, my testimony and my music. And it was really great to meet you. And yeah, I hope that somebody finds hope through that song, you know?
Yes, ma'am. Well, all right. Well, that's Miss Angelique Markerton on Mix Sunday Morning. Thanks for listening. If you like what you've heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix1065Radio.com, the Mix 106.5 mobile apps, or the Mix 106.5 skill on Amazon's Alexa-enabled smart speakers. I'm Greg Wyckoff, and this program is a product of Radio Alabama.